Would you open your Bibles, beloved, tonight to the book of Revelation, chapter 17, the revelation of Jesus Christ given to John, the apostle, not the revelation of St. John the Divine. There was never a man named St. John the Divine, not in John's mind, nor in God's mind. But there was a man named John. The book of Revelation, chapter 17, beginning at verse 1, would you read with me? One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls of wrath came and talked with me, saying to me, "Come, and I will show you the judgment of the great whore who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication. The inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication." Now, do you see in verse 1, the last word says, she sits on many waters. That may seem mystical and confusing to some of us, but I want to tell you about the book of Revelation. First of all, God was wise in placing the book of Revelation last. The book of Revelation is the easiest book in the Bible to understand. It's the easiest if you study and pray over the first 65 books first. Then, Mary, when you get to the last book, you'll understand it. But the problem with most Christians is they get saved, read John, a dab of Romans, a tad of Ephesians, and leap to Revelation and wonder why they do not understand the Revelation. Now, I know that the book of Revelation is the easiest book in the Bible to understand because God said so. You say, where did God say so? He called it the revelation, not the hard book to understand. In the book of Revelation, there are many apparently mystical symbols, but I want you to understand that none of them are open to anyone's personal opinion or private interpretation. If you've read the first 65 books, God, almost every one of them are already mentioned, discussed, described, and interpreted by God, for you. In other words, my point is the Bible is its own explanation. It's its own commentary. So much of the book of Revelation is actually quoting from the Old Testament. And the symbols in the book of Revelation that are not clearly described and defined in the Old Testament are described and defined in the book of Revelation itself. How can you be worried about this whore sitting on many waters? You know, I mean, Jesus walked on the water, Dalton. You know, Jesus walked on the water. But, and what's this whore doing, you know, sitting on water? You know, so we're going to find out. I'm just telling you, be patient. When we get to verse 15, he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold, precious stones, pearls, having on her hand a golden, golden cup full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. See, on the outside, it looked beautiful. It was a beautiful golden chalice. But when you looked on the inside, it's kind of like some of our hypocritical lives. On the outside, we seem very spiritual. We wear robes, we wear white collars, we wear smiles, we look like we're really something on the outside. But sometimes when you look on the inside, and this is what's wrong with so many people, that we know that are fine, moral, upstanding people, and we can't understand how it is that God says if they don't believe in Jesus, that they are doomed. We look at the outside of the cup, we think, my word, here is a fine person, how could a loving, merciful God allow him to go to hell forever and ever and ever? You see, the problem is we're only looking at the outside of the cup. Now, some people wear a very beautiful outside of the cup. Other people wear a pretty crummy outside of the cup, and they're crummy on the inside, too. All right? But what I'm saying is, you really cannot judge completely by the outside. Some people smile piously, say spiritual things, but their hearts are wicked. All right? So we see that here's an example of this whore sitting on many waters, And in her hand, this beautiful cup looks gold, looks wonderful, but when you look inside the cup, it's full of abominations and filthiness, the filthiness of her fornication. Verse 5, on her forehead a name was written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of whores and the abominations of the earth. You observe I use the word whores. I know it's a lot of you have newer translations that use the word harlot. But you know one thing I like about God? When God dealt with me, he called me one day and said, Floyd, you are a sinner. But you're a sinner, and unless you repent and change your way and receive Jesus as your Savior, you're going to face me without a Savior, and you're going to have to try and save yourself, and you won't be able to save yourself from me that day. I don't want that to happen to you. That's why I'm warning you beforehand. Now, if I didn't love you, I'd just let you face me without a warning. Because I do love you, I'm warning you so that you won't have an excuse when you face me. Oh, wife beaters and murderers and things like that. Now, see, Lloyd, I'm civilized, incredibly educated. You don't use words like that. I mean, let's have a little deference and a little homage due me on the basis of all my incredible grades and my 6.5 years at the university. You see, theologians hate to be told they're wicked. They want us to pay homage to them because they have white collars. They have PhDs. But the men that hated Jesus the most when he walked this planet were theologians. And I want to tell you and proclaim to you tonight, beloveds, nothing much has changed. I praise God for the few theologians, the few, praise God, that do love him and his word and have not placed their own intellect above the word of God. There still are a few, but the majority of the people that strive with God, with the Lord Jesus himself, are those that claim his name but do not possess his name. Let me tell you, if you really want to get forgiveness from God, call it what it is. Lord, I sinned against you. Forgive me, Lord. And you will experience God's forgiveness. But when we start trying to dress up and flower up our sin with... And it says in verse 6, I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. And the angel said to me, why did you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the 7 heads and the 10 horns. The beast that you saw was and is not. He will ascend out of the bottomless pit, and he will go to perdition. Those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life, from the foundation of the world. See, before you were ever born, your name was written in the book of life. Everybody's name was. Did you see it? That's what that verse is telling you. See, God loves everybody so much, he wants your name in the book of life so badly, he stuck it in there before you ever got here. Then when people make their final rejection of Jesus, and only God knows when it's final, God erases their name from the book of life. So that at judgment, God will show them, when he opens the books, he'll show them where their name was. He'll show them how much he cared about them. No, it was right there, number 4,422. That was where yours was. But it isn't there now. I'm sorry, but I had to erase it. It was written, not written. These names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, where they see the beast that was and is not and yet is. Here is the mind which has wisdom. Now catch that word, wisdom. I want you to go back in your mind real quickly to verse 5 and notice that the first name given on this whore's forehead was the word mystery. Then the next name that she possessed was Babylon the Great. The mother, in other words, she has given birth to all other whores. She is a whore, and she's given birth to everyone else that's a whore. You got it? All right. And of all the abominations of the earth, this woman is the fountain, the beginning. All right. So now then, verse 9. Now here is the mind that has wisdom. See that word mystery. Ooh, it's a mystery. God says, now you want wisdom instead of mysteries? Oh, all right. Now, here is the mind which has wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sits. All right? And there are 7 kings. 5 have fallen, and 1 is. The other is not yet come, and when he comes, he must continue a short time. The beast that was and is not is himself also the eighth. He is of the seven and is going to perdition. Now, very quickly, let me just go over that. It says, this woman is sitting on seven mountains. The seven heads are seven mountains. In the Old Testament, you can go back and find many times that a mountain is used spiritually to represent a kingdom. So here are seven kings over seven kingdoms. But these seven mountains, we're going to see something about, these seven hills. Okay, in fact, I'll save you time. Let's look at verse 18. Verse 18 says, the woman whom you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. Look back at verse 9. That same woman sits on the mountain of seven hills. Now, there's no question what city that has been all through time. Every one of you know which city it is. If we believe that Jesus Christ is soon to return to planet Earth, there's only one city that can possibly, throughout all history, answer to this. It is the city of Rome. Now, let me just interject this very rapidly. Many people have taught over the past that this great whore that has slaughtered the saints is the Roman Catholic Church and the beast is the Pope. Well, that's not completely truth. There's a lot of truth to that. Most of you in here with the Catholic, from the Catholic Church, you probably don't know. You probably think Adolf Hitler was pretty bad since he killed 6 million Jews, and I would have to agree with you, he was pretty bad.